you have a vast mosaic of protected terrestrial protected areas. You have created the greatest number and extension of protected areas in the world in the period between 2006 to 2010. I know, because I had the pleasure of visiting ICM Bio yesterday, that there are more plans for this, and we wish you all the good luck and speed as you move ahead on that. But my third point, therefore, is essentially that Brazil is leading the way to safeguard your natural heritage. And my fourth point really is that we see groups like the one we find in this room today in dialogue all over the world. And that dialogue matters, from Africa, from Asia, from Latin America, from South America, from Europe, from everywhere. We are having a dialogue. In fact, the mix of people in this room, senators, ministers, ambassadors, parliamentarians, member of the judicial apparatus, administrators, academics, practitioners, civil society, international organization, that's a conversation that is needed at a global level. And that's the kind of conversation that we need precisely in every Senate in the world and in every parliament in the world. And so tomorrow, we will journey, and actually today, but tomorrow, we should have the first World Environmental Law Congress that should take place in Rio. That's the first global forum to bring together and to advance the rule of law in developing innovative solutions that really can help ensure global sustainability. And so also the Global Judicial Institute for Environment should be launched at the Congress. And that's a huge achievement, a partnership between IUCN, UNEP, the Organization of American States, the Asian Development Bank, the International Association of Judges, the Brazilian Association of Judges, and the Association of Judges and the Supreme Court of the State of Rio de Janeiro, and many other key partners, bringing that big tent forward and saying, we know that we need to help to develop a judicial institute to help underpin the judiciary in implementing the rule of law for environment. And so bringing together judges, bringing together other stakeholders from around the world to share these experiences can help build the capacity of environmental law. Because, Senator, as you said, Senator Vinha, we need nature, but nature doesn't need us. And so it is making that happen and stepping forward that Brazil has shown the way. And we from the global community, we are delighted and honored to be here today. And we thank you for this privilege. I thank you, Mr. President.
O nosso embaixador, ministro de Relações Exteriores do Brasil, Mauro Vieira, precisa seguir para um outro compromisso, mas eu queria, em nome de todos e que organizaram, inclusive, essa sessão e do Senado Federal, agradecer a presença de Vossa Excelência. Queria aproveitar e agradecer e fazer o registro do apoio que, sem ele, nós não teríamos condição de realizar esse encontro. Do PNUMA, da OEA, da AMB, Associação dos Magistrados Brasileiros, do Ministério do Meio Ambiente, do Governo do Distrito Federal, do Governo de Goiás e da UCN, que a diretora acabou de fazer uso da palavra. E, claro, queria também agradecer a Globo que é também dar um importante apoio para que tenhamos parlamentares e a realização dessa sessão. Eu convido agora. Então eu vou me retirar. Ministro Mauro se retira nesse momento. Eu convido agora para falar no tema Estado de Direito Ambiental o professor Michael Buff. Ele é professor emérito da Johann Wolfgang Goethe University, da Alemanha, e eu peço então para que ele possa fazer sua exposição.
Thank you, President of the Session, Senators, Ministers, fellow environmentalists. It is a great honor for me to share a few thoughts on a subject which is of such a fundamental importance for the world. In the legislative chamber of a country which stands out for its efforts to promote the cause of environmental protection. I combine these words of appreciation with words of gratitude towards all those whose relentless efforts have made this event and will make more events possible, and last but not least, for the wonderful Brazilian hospitality. Environmental rule of law. The environment of our planet keeps degenerating at an appalling pace. Is environmental rule of law an appropriate means to slow and even stop this process, which has so ably been pointed out by the Director General of IUCN a few moments ago? Now, since the beginning of environmental policies deserving that name, at the turn from the 60s and 70s of the last century, law has indeed been a primordial tool of implementing these policies, of protecting the environment. This means rule of law and environmental protection are companions. This is so in many countries, but also on the international level. But what are the requirements of this environmental rule of law? It has indeed to overcome a number of difficulties. Let me single out a few. Rule of law means practical application of the law. There must thus be appropriate procedures to enforce the law. This requirement is already formulated in the Rio Declaration of 92. It is repeated inter alia in the Sustainable Development Goals adopted by the United Nations General Assembly in 2015. It has in Europe been stipulated in an international treaty, the Aarhus Convention, which provides for three pillars, and these three pillars are important: information, participation of the public, and access to justice. Now, this requirement seems to be formal, so to say, content neutral. However, it is not. The concept of environmental rule of law presupposes and demands an environmental law which fulfills basic substantive requirements. It must ensure intergenerational equity, as it must correspond to the postulates of environmental justice. These substantive requirements account for a second problem, which is essentially political: the problem of competing powerful interests. Why is environmental law diluted and not respected? Relevant actors often prefer short-term and egoistic interests to environmental concerns. You can see that in many cases, in many situations, where short-term and mainly egoistic economic concerns are preferred over environmental concerns. And corruption is just an example of this antagonism between short-term economic gain, which prevails over environmental protection. This is the worst foe of the environment. Now, how can these countervailing interests be restrained for the sake of preserving the environment? Admittedly, from time to time, it is necessary to strike. The growing population of the globe cannot be fed without economic growth. But the cohabitation of environmental protection and economic growth must not be organized by a rule of thumb. It must be subject to the rule of law, the environmental rule of law. This is a question of political will, but this is too easy a statement. How can this political will be made to exist? There are a number of factors. Relevant actors must be convinced. Examples must be set, and I think an important example has just been mentioned by the foreign minister, namely the Brazilian obligation declaration concerning climate change. A well-informed civil society is also important, and so are international discourses like the present one. I'm grateful for the opportunity you provide me to be part in this. Muito obrigado.
Eu agradeço as palavras do professor Michael Boff e eu queria pedir para que pudesse também fazer sua exposição ao ex-presidente, a Comissão Mundial de Direito Ambiental no Paquistão, Parvez Hassan, para fazer uso da palavra.
Mr. President, I really wanted to thank you and this event for providing me one of the most memorable moments in my life. For 2 decades of my life, I tried very hard to be a part of the political process in Pakistan. I helped set up a political party. We thought we'll bring in honesty, transparency, accountability in the country. The party was very well received. I was the Secretary General of that party. We campaigned vigorously. The media supported us. The people turned out for our public rallies. We received a lot of money in support of what we were doing. And then came election day. I was a candidate for the National Assembly of Pakistan from Lahore. And everything was going well. But when we opened the ballot boxes that evening, all of the ballot boxes were empty for our party. So what I was not able to do politically, that is to get to the parliament in Pakistan. It's a lifelong dream. Today, you have given me an opportunity to sit in the Senate of the great state of Brazil, even if it's for 3 hours. I think I've lived my life's dream to be a member of a parliament for this short period. And I thank you, really, for this huge pleasure that it has brought in my life. But I also wanted to say that my gratitude to Brazil extends beyond this special day. I joined the global pilgrimage to Rio in 1992 and saw how that event changed the world. What happened at Rio in terms of the global issues that emerged there resonated all over the world. In Pakistan, we received much of what had happened in Rio as something that was a part of our global commitment. We set out to draft laws, we set out to set up institutions, all that had been required in the Rio Declaration of Environment and Development, and all that was provided in Agenda 21. And within 2 years, that is in 1994, the Supreme Court of Pakistan owned the Rio Declaration on Environment and Development in one of its landmark judgments in Shehla Zia. I had the privilege to argue that case. And environmental rule of law started becoming a part of the life of my country. And that is how eloquently Rio 1992 had resonated in my part of the world. I want to next get into a story that spins off from environmental rule of law. It was launched in the Shehla Zia judgment in 1994. It opened all the courts of Pakistan with an obligation to accept environmental petitions and suits because the Supreme Court of Pakistan had declared in that monumental judgment that the right to the environment was a fundamental right of all Pakistanis. But I want to today share a story with you, a story that is a time frame. It happened in the last 12 months. The country is Pakistan. The theme is environmental justice. And every story has a hero. And the hero of the story is a friend of all of us in this room. We all like him. We all love him. We all admire him. And he'll join us in Rio this afternoon. And that is Sayyid Mansoor Ali Shah, the green judge from the Lahore High Court in Pakistan. And the reason I tell this story in the context of his heroic vision is that about a year ago, a petitioner came to the court in Lahore and petitioned that as a citizen of Pakistan, he had the fundamental right to make sure that the climate change priorities of Pakistan were disciplined, were implemented in accordance with a manner that was consistent with the welfare of the masses of Pakistan. And this judge, the green judge I've talked about, innovated. Now, what you spun off at Rio 1992 was a global diktat on environmental justice and environmental rule of law. But every nation has carved out its own strategy to get to that particular journey. And what Justice Mansoor Ali Shah did was he appointed a commission, and this is something that we do a lot in Pakistan, and I wanted to share this with the distinguished participants at this particular meeting. He set up a commission, he asked me to chair it, and he gave me a simple mandate. And the mandate was to ensure as much as is possible that the climate change policy that had been put together by the government of Pakistan in 2010 and the implementational framework to effectuate that policy should really be implemented. So what it developed to was my chairing a meeting of about 60 participants, all federal secretaries involved with climate change, Secretary of Finance, Secretary of Water, Planning, anybody you can think of, all the secretaries in the provincial governments in the Punjab, the chairman of the National Disaster Management Authority, meteorological chiefs, civil society, academia, professors. I put together this large round table. We sat on that table for about 6 months and found that while the country was under the impression that we were not implementing our global, our national agenda on climate change, because each department, each ministry was working within a silo of its own. But when we sat down on one table, we found that there has been a huge progress in the implementation of the climate change policy. So the commission continues to work, and I think Justice Mansoor will probably talk about it at the upcoming Congress in Rio. But I just wanted to share with the participants that we have made progress. We identified the priority actions that had to be accomplished by the end of last year, and we will ensure, as the Commission continued its work, that it will be done by the 30th of June this year. We will put into motion the implementation of the short-term goals, which are over a period of 5 years. And what I wanted to share with you was this judicial innovation in trying to create within Pakistan a mechanism, a machinery, where all the departments and all the ministries and all the king's men and all the king's horses got together on the same table to effectuate a common agenda. I commend this for the other countries that are deadlocked in the implementation of climate change agenda. It's a beautiful experience we've had in Pakistan. I thank you, President, for this opportunity. And I know that Rio 1992 will continue to echo for the vision of our sustainable development in Pakistan. I thank you, Chair.